Who of you listened to the words of that song on revival? Just wave at me if you listened to those words. Who of you know that we need revival in this country? Just wave at me. Come, don't be afraid, just wave. Both hands, come on, that's it. I like it. Guys, we need revival. We need revival because all around us, everything is falling apart. And you know what the sad thing is? Mankind has come to a place where we really think we can exist without God. You know, even people that go to church, a lot of them just go to church because that's the tradition that they were brought up in. But they don't know God. They don't have a relationship with God. They don't trust God as their Savior. They don't trust God as their provider, as their healer. And let me just tell you something. The worst kind of demon that you can find is a religious demon. Because they are the ones that kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. We don't need that. We need revival. We need God to pour out the fire. We need God to release the living water. We need God to touch people's hearts and bring about change and transformation. What church are you from? Abundant Life Ministries, bless God. What church are you from, sir? Yeah. Alberton Methodist, well, bless God. What church are you from, man? Methodist. Man, there's an invasion of the Methodists happening here tonight. What church are you from? Leven Centrum. What church are... Who haven't I picked on yet? No, I've picked on you. Mark, it's Mark, right? What church are you from? Metanoia. And you? Baptist. Bless God, the Baptists are here. And what church are you from? Pentecostal. And what church are you from? New Apostolic. And what church are you from, sir? Hervormde Kerk. Last but not least, what church are you from? In here. Well, bless God for that. Now, the thing that I wanted to show you is this. We have a wonderful privilege tonight that we've got so many different people together here. And you know what? It's extremely difficult to get so many diverse, different background church people together because it doesn't really happen. And that's sad. Because you see, the Baptists have got something to offer. The Methodists have got something to offer. The Ingia have got something to offer. And I don't believe God's got a problem that we've got different churches. So long as those churches are effective. And none of those churches can be effective unless the Holy Spirit of God is allowed to move in the church. When God, sorry, would you just get me some water, please? When God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says it was formless. It was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. And then the Lord spoke these words, and He said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. And did you ever think of it that God had not yet created the moon, He had not yet created the stars, He had not yet created the sun, and none of the heavenly bodies were in place yet? Yet the Bible says, instantly when God said, let there be light, there was light. How did the light spring forth? Because the Bible also tells us God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. But the person of God that was here, the person of the Trinity of God that was right there where the problem was, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and the Lord spoke these words, and He said, let there be light. Can I tell you something? You can be doing something wrong for years and years and years and not know it if you are living in darkness. Have you ever worked on your car? What is your name? Werner. What was the last thing that you did on your car?
Alternator.
You tuned the alternator a little bit. Is it singing nicely now?
No, it's singing.
It's singing. All right. What if I was to give you that alternator and switch off all the lights and say, fix it? How far would you get? Not very far. Would you agree with me that you would probably make a worse, you would cause a worse problem than what you had before? All right, now listen to me. That is why we need revival. Because most of our country, even though we are supposedly 70% Christian nation, most of our country is living in darkness. Because they just know God in word, but they don't know God in their hearts. And you see, the thing is, if you try and solve problems in the darkness, you just create bigger problems. Hello? But when God begins to pour out that revival, when the fire of God begins to fall, if we switch all of these lights off and we light one little match, you'll be able to see. I don't know how many candle power God has in his heart, but it's a lot more than one little match. It's a lot more than our sun. In fact, it's a lot more than all the heavenly bodies put together, because it is God himself that gives them the power to give the light that they give. Because the Bible tells us outside of God there is no light. And you see, the thing is, when the light of God begins to fall on mankind, that person that is trying to fix that marriage and can't fix it and keeps messing it up, suddenly, boom, the lights go on. And he can see clearly what he's doing wrong, or she can see clearly what she's doing wrong. And it's the same with that young man that wants to get out of drug abuse. He's tried this and he's tried that and he's done this and he's done that and nothing seems to work. You know why? Because there's darkness. And you can't solve problems in the darkness. You need the light. And therefore we need God to open the floodgates of heaven and allow the fire to fall. Jesus made a promise and he said there will come a day that I will be... John the Baptist actually made the promise. He said there is one coming whose shoes I am not worthy to tie. And when he comes, he will not baptize you with water. He will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. When the fire begins to fall, my friend, it does two things. It instantly incinerates rubbish, because fire has cleaning properties. And secondly, where there's fire, there's light. Where there's fire, you can see. Have you ever seen that when you sit around a campfire, everything around the campfire is illuminated, but you walk 100 meters that way and you can't see nothing, because you need that light. Please take hands, everybody. Find somebody whose hand you can take. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, this is something that is very serious. There is biblical prophecy that warns us that the last days in which we are living, there will be terrible times. People will become lovers of themselves and lovers of what is good. People will become dedicated to living a worldly life. They will hate their parents. There will be anarchy. And there will be a lot of evil in this world. And Lord, for reasons that you understand, you have destined us to live in a time such as this. And Lord, I know that you put us in this time because you have endowed us with all the right properties and all the right qualities to have a light that will shine in this dark world and that will bring light into the lives of the people that right now are suffering and falling apart. But Lord, I can't switch the light inside of me on. I don't know how. And there is not one person that is here tonight that can switch on their own light, because they don't know how. And Lord, I know that the only way that the light will be switched on in me and in them is if the finger of God touches me and the fire of God is released in my heart. And Father, that is what I pray for. Now I want you, all of you, as you are sitting there, just begin to open your hearts. And as I'm praying, you just begin to speak to God and you ask him for this. Father, we need your fire. We need your light. We need you to pour out, Lord, the holiness of God. We need you to pour out, Lord, the life of God. We know, Lord, that outside of the Spirit of the living God, there is no life. There can be no life, and we cannot sustain life. Lord, we don't want to go through life existing from day to day. We know, Lord, that the Bible promises abundant life, life more abundantly. Father, we pray for that in Jesus' name. We pray for revival, Lord. We pray that you will put the devil under our feet. We pray that you will pick us up out of the pit of despair and that you will place us on the rock, Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. We pray, Lord, that you will empower us by the power of the Holy Spirit and that the gifting that you have placed inside of us will begin to live. I thank you, Lord, that young evangelists can rise up. I thank you, Father God, that the prophets of God begin to speak the word of God again. I thank you, Father God, for the teachers that get up and begin to teach the people the word of God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we cry out to you for revival. We need you, Lord. Please forgive us that so often we try and do things ourselves. Please forgive us, Lord, that we run to the world first and to God last. Lord, tonight we just want to glorify you and we want to make a declaration. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. You are the great I Am. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are the beginning. You are the end. And there is none like you. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Fatima Ghi, please come and join me. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm well, thank you. All right. I would like to introduce all of you to somebody that you might have heard before, because she might be small, but she's got serious vocal cords. This is Fatima. Would you all just give her a warm welcome?
Thank you.
For those of you that might not know why we are both standing in front here tonight, we are going to be doing something a little bit different. We haven't done this in a very long time. We are going to be sharing what the Lord has done for this lady in her life. And you see, the thing is, that's very biblical. Because the Bible says you will overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. So you see, tonight is her opportunity to once again put her foot on every devil that ever messed with her.
Amen.
And you've got the opportunity to be here with her.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
Enjoy it with her.
Amen.
I have it on good authority that the devil has a splitting headache right now. Big stress for the devil. Bless God. Fatimaki, before we begin to talk about all of the stuff that we're going to be talking about, I would just like to ask you this question. How would you say your life has changed in the last, 7, 8 years?
I don't think I have enough words to explain and mm-hmm. to describe how my life changed. It changed for better, of course. And I will not change for anything else in this world. And what can I say? I just want to give praise and glory to the Lord for what He did for me and for my family.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise God for that. All right. I think so that we can follow a bit of order, so that we can follow a bit of structure, we're just going to follow some notes. Because you've got to understand something. It took 5 years of prayer, of praying for her. Now, she doesn't look like much. You know, she's what? She's a whole, 3 foot something tall.
Yeah.
Now, you're a bit taller than that, hey? But let me see the heels.
There's no heels.
There's no heels. Oh, okay. All right. She doesn't look very big, but, you know, dynamite comes in small little packages. Yeah. Now, it took 5 years of prayer to get her life to where God wanted it. And Fatimaki, I would like you to maybe just share with the people, before you and I met the first time, give them a bit of a, let's say that they can be a fly on the wall, and they're going to see a couple of days in the life of Fatima's life. Tell them what your life was like and the type of stuff that was happening in your life back then.
I was always very sick. I didn't even know what was wrong with me. I had depression, chronic depression. I had a very strange kind of fits, similar to epilepsy, but very, very strange. I used to go into a trance, and I used to see things, and I used to say things that I don't even remember. I had a stroke 10 years ago. I had a convulsion of nerves. I tried to shoot my husband twice. It was a madhouse.
All right, so maybe you get the idea that as far as living goes, she was definitely not living. She was just existing. She was going through the motions, trying to just cope through one day after the next day after the next day. And you see, that's not right. Because the devil came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life, and that we might have life much more abundantly. Now you see, the thing is, something was going to have to change in her life for her to begin to live the abundant life that the Word of God says Jesus has for you and for I. Now, this is basically how it happened. I got a phone call one day from a lady, a friend of Fatima's. And she told me a little bit about Fatima's life and some of the things that was going on. And she asked if I would mind maybe praying for her. Because back then, Fatima's husband had taken her for psychiatric evaluation. She'd actually been for psychiatric evaluation probably a couple of times.
Yeah.
And the psychiatrist had made a recommendation that she would be placed in an institution. And he basically told her husband that it's probably best that they keep her there and that he just goes on with his life. And she was going to be going to this place in 3 days' time. And if God didn't do a miracle, that might be where she would spend the rest of her life. How many of you know that that was not going to be a nice life?
Amen.
All right, that was definitely not going to be a nice life. And so this lady asked, would it be possible for us to pray for her and see if God can maybe do a miracle? And so I agreed, and on the due date that we had set, that was probably the following day or the day after, I can't really remember, I went to their home and I went to go and pray for them. Now, Fatima, did you know that I was going to come and pray for you?
No.
Okay, so your husband never told you that there was somebody coming to pray or anything like that?
I wasn't in my normal stage. I didn't even know what was happening.
Okay, just tell them, in that times when you were in that state, did you know anything that was happening around you?
No.
And for how long had you been in this state when I came to pray for you the first time?
That time that you prayed for me, it was about a week that I was like
that. All right, so for a whole week, she was totally controlled by evil spirits. She had no idea what was going on around her. Even if you had a conversation with her, she was in this like almost paralytic type trance, where she wouldn't hear anything, she wouldn't respond to you, and every now and then when the devils wanted to, she would just start freaking out and destroy half the place. That was what her life was like. So she knew nothing about me coming to pray for her. She knew nothing about her husband's conversations with this woman or anything like that. Now, here's the interesting thing. Fatimaki, on the day that I came, that I was had an appointment to come and pray for you, what happened just before I got there?
The demons, they start screaming, don't open the gate, don't open the gate, it's coming, it's coming. And I start feel very ill. I start feeling things crawling over my whole body. And I was very, very strange, very stressful. And
agitated.
Yeah. Mm. And that's it. That's what I remember about that day. I don't remember much about that day.
Yeah. Funny enough, I spoke to her husband later on that afternoon, after all the dust had settled and everything. Her husband said that possibly about a minute or 2 minutes before I stopped in front of the gate, she jumped up suddenly, and she started running around the house, and she started screaming. And then she started screaming, he's coming, don't open the gate. And she started going ballistic. Yeah. And they had four people there that day. And all four of those people tried to control her, and they couldn't. She was just throwing them all over the room, and they had just big drama and big stress. And they didn't really know exactly what was going on. Because I don't think they understood that when she was shouting that he's coming, that it was referring to me being on the way. And the next moment, Muhammad heard my car by the gate. And so he ran out and he opened the gate. Now, this was my perspective. I'm coming to pray for this woman that I don't know. I know very little about her life except that she's got lots of problems. And as I come driving down the street, the closer I get to her house, the more I hear screaming. Now, I said to you that she's been blessed with serious vocal cords, all right? You could literally hear her two houses away. You could hear her scream and perform. And I got to the house and I thought to myself, man, what on earth is going on in this house? And then her husband opens the gate and he just explains, now I must park the car and we must go into the house. So there was no time to greet him. There was no time for pleasantries or anything like that. And yes, I ran after him. I remember they've actually made some alterations to their home right now, so it doesn't look like it used to look back then. But back then, when you used to walk into the house, you were in the living room.
Yes.
So I walked into the house, I was in the living room, and this was the picture that I had. They had a three-seater couch, a long black three-seater couch. And she was on the couch, and these four people were trying to pin her down on the couch. And then I would see this one go flying that way, and then I would see that one go flying that way. And all the time there was this hideous screaming and performing going on. And eventually, I noticed this tiny little woman lying on the couch, what, knee-high to a grasshopper. And she was just throwing these people around like they were nothing, like they were not even there. And as I entered the house, immediately something came over me. Now, this is something that you find in the Bible. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, He can bring about emotion. Sometimes when the Spirit of God comes upon you, He brings about joy, and the joy of the Lord begins to well up inside of you. But you will look, if you look in the Bible, you will see that there were times when the Holy Spirit came on people, He immediately empowered them for warfare. He empowered them to fight. The Bible tells us that when Saul got the news that a bunch of Amalekites or Hittites, I can't remember what tribe they were, they had taken hostage a bunch of Israelites, and they were threatening to stab out their right eye. When he got news of that, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he was filled with anger. And he got together all the Israelites, and he went and they waged warfare. The same thing happened to Gideon. The Spirit of God came upon him, and the Bible says, and he was filled with anger. The same thing happened to Samson. The Spirit of God came upon him. He was filled with anger, and he went and destroyed a whole horde of Philistines. Now, what I'm trying to say is, at that moment, the only appropriate reaction was anger. Not at her, but at what Satan was doing to her. And I just felt like a fighting spirit rise up inside of me. And I remember it took me 2 steps. I don't know how I did it, but within 2 steps, I was standing right by her, and I placed my hand on her forehead, and I began to pray, and I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan, I rebuke you. I command you to release this woman. And it was like the demon inside of her had a shock. Because suddenly he stopped screaming, he stopped shouting, and he had this bewildered look in his eyes. And then after that bewildered look went away, he began to scream at me, and he said to me, you are too late. There is nothing that you can do for this woman. I will kill her, I will destroy her, and you cannot stop me. Now, how many of you know that Satan is not in control?
Amen.
Come on, just bear with me. Is the devil ever in control?
Never.
Look, you know what? When you look at this world, it looks like he's in control, but he's not. All right. I want you to understand something. God is in control. And yes, sometimes God will give the devil just enough rope to hang himself. So, I wasn't very interested in what he had to say, that he was going to kill her and destroy her and blah, 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 blah. And 20 minutes later, or half an hour or an hour, I can't remember, after a big fight, the next moment, she sat up on the couch, she fell over forward, and she vomited this huge, big, black bunch of stuff. And the moment it was out, you could see there was an instant change. Her face looked different. When evil spirits manifest in people's faces, you can see it in the eyes, and you can often see it just in the facial features. It almost looks like the whole person's features change. The face becomes hard. The eyes become cold, and you don't see life in the eyes. It looks weird. It looks like a wax impersonation of the person, and often the color also drains right out of the skin, out of the skin. And the moment she had vomited the stuff out, when she sat up, I remember she sat there, and it was like she'd come back from somewhere. She was looking around, and she was like, can you still remember?
Yes.
You were quite confused, weren't you?
I was very confused.
And she wanted to know, who's this man? Who's this man sitting next to me? But you felt better, didn't you?
I did feel much better.
Amen. Well, good. Bless God. So, some of the things that the evil spirit said is, the first time that I encountered them, is that they said they were never going to leave. They threatened that if I continue to pray for her, they will kill her, they will destroy her, they will destroy her family, blah, blah, blah. Then they told us that we could never get rid of them. And they kept telling me that I'm weak. You are way too weak to get rid of us. All I want to say is that is fairly standard operating procedure for evil spirits, because they believe in intimidation. They try and intimidate you. That's just how Satan works. And a child of God should not be intimidated by the works of darkness. Amen. Greater is he that is in me and you than he that is in the world. Those are his tactics. Because Satan's kingdom is built on fear. If he can intimidate you long enough and you begin to worry and you begin to doubt, yes, then you will fail. And that is why we need faith. We need to believe. We need to trust in God. We need to know the word of God. So anyway, after all this had happened, she calmed down. And for the first time, I could meet the person. I could speak to Fatima. And I introduced myself, and we had a bit of a chat. And I explained to her and her husband and all the other people that were there what had just happened. And you know, the interesting thing to me was, how long had you been having all these fits and stuff before we met? For how many years?
For a long, long time. But the problem, I was in a lot of medication. They used to calm me down.
Okay.
And when they changed the medication, then I started getting very ill for a long time, many years.
Okay, so for many years, she had been taking medication and going for whatever therapy, etc., etc. And her husband said to me, I will never forget this, that day, when suddenly she came out of the stuff and she vomited the stuff and she was normal, he kept looking at her. I think he was expecting she was going to pop off any second again. And then at one stage he said to me, I've never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you mean? He says, after all the years that I've seen this happen to my wife, normally the only way that we can get her out of it is they have to put massive tranquilizers in her, or they have to take her to some institution, or they have to hospitalize her. He said to me, I have never seen my wife come out of these fits, boom, like that. It's the first time in my life that I've seen it. And then I used that as an opportunity to speak to both him and his wife about Jesus Christ. Because you see, Jesus is the healer, not me. Amen. Jesus is the deliverer, not me. And the thing is, at that stage, they did not really know Jesus. They were seeking him. They were trying to find him, but they did not really know Jesus. To put it this way, at that stage, Muhammad was still a Muslim. All right? So his version of God would have been Allah. And he probably prayed through Muhammad and who knows what else, but he did not know Jesus Christ back then. So I had a wonderful opportunity now to talk to them about Jesus the healer, Jesus the deliverer, and Jesus the savior. So I sat them down and I began to speak to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a gospel of good news. Amen. Amen. It's a gospel of healing. It's a gospel of deliverance. And you know what? Yes, Muhammad was a Muslim back then. And generally, Muslims are extremely difficult to convert to Christianity. They are militant about what they believe in. But you must understand something. After what this man had just witnessed, he was willing to believe just about anything.
Amen.
You understand? So that was very fertile ground. So we began to talk to him, and I shared with him the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And I think maybe for the first time that day you understood things that you never understood before.
Yes.
Yeah.
My eyes opened there.
Yes, their eyes were opened. And then I said to her, Fatima, you know what? After what has happened to you now, Jesus has come to help you to clean your house. The problem is, if Jesus doesn't come and fill this house, the chocho will come back at some point in time. And if the house is nice and empty, what happens in South Africa when you leave your property empty for too long? Yeah, the squatters move in, right? Well, now you understand how demons work. They work exactly like squatters. If you empty the house and you don't have somebody living there, they will move in. And they don't waste time. They will move in quickly if they have the opportunity to do so. So yes, we've shared with her the gospel. She understands the gospel. Now, how many of you know that understanding the gospel is not good enough? You must make a choice.
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. You must make a choice for Jesus. It's no use saying, yeah, I know him, I understand, blah, blah. Mm-mm. You got to make a choice. Here's what the Bible says. Fatimaki, turn to me. Jesus says, behold, I'm standing at the door and I am knocking. If you will open up, I will enter in.
Amen.
Now that's the thing. Just hearing the gospel doesn't open the door. Believing the gospel doesn't open the door. You still have to open the door and invite him in. Yes. You know, if somebody comes and knocks at the door and you say, yeah, I know it's Rion standing out there. Yeah, I know Rion well. That's not good enough. You got to get to the place where you walk, get up, walk to the door, open the door and invite me in. Because that's why I'm there. I want to come and visit with you. Now Jesus wants to come and change your life. Now he has had mercy on her to deliver her, but that doesn't mean that he's in her heart. And so, normally, we pray a sinner's prayer with people, which is a very simple prayer where we confess our sins, we ask God to forgive us, we invite Jesus Christ into our hearts, and we invite him to be our Lord and Savior. And it doesn't take more than a minute to pray the sinner's prayer. Who of you that is here has prayed the sinner's prayer? Good. Now, it sounds fairly straightforward, doesn't it? Wasn't straightforward with this little lady. The moment I began to lead her in a sinner's prayer, I think she probably said two words. Boom. The next demon explodes. And I had another fight on my hands. This is what happened. Her husband is my witness and four other people that were there. She jumped up. She started screaming like a banshee. She ran into the kitchen and she came out there with a knife. And she was running after me. Whatever faith I had activated instantly. And we actually had to physically restrain her. I had to pry the knife out of her hands and we cast the evil spirit out. But I want you to notice something. The moment the gospel came into her life and she was at the place that she wanted to make an opportunity, make a decision for Jesus, Satan manifested his power. Why? Because Satan doesn't want people to move from darkness into light. And you see, in her life, you could see it quite vividly. But there are some of you, you have prayed for your brother for years and you can't understand why he's never interested. That's what's happening behind the scenes.
Yes.
There are evil spirits afflicting his life that don't want him to understand the good news. Not everybody will manifest outwardly, but some people will just, when you try and share the gospel with them, they're instantly confused. It doesn't make sense to them. They think you're crazy, you're stupid. How can you believe in fairy tales? Those are evil spirits manifesting. And that's what you need to pray against to get the breakthrough in that person's life. Fatima, that day, it probably took us about an hour, maybe longer.
Maybe longer.
For you to just pray a 1 minute sinner's prayer. Because every time we started to pray, another demon would manifest. And they would instantly try and stop her from speaking. Because they did not want her to come to the place where she opened her heart and invited Jesus into her heart. Now that's got to make you think. If evil spirits will put so much value on outwardly manifesting in a person's life just to stop them from accepting Jesus, then how important is it for every person in this world to truly accept Jesus?
Amen.
Because you see, here's the reality, the harsh, stark reality. Every single one of them are going to burn in the lake of fire. Unfortunately, they don't want to burn alone.
Yeah.
They want to take you with. They want to take me with. They want to take us all with if they can. But God, for God so loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. They know that Jesus Christ has come to show us the way to salvation. And they know that only through Jesus can you be saved.
Amen.
And that is why the moment the gospel enters into some people's lives, there's just turmoil and big trouble. Because they don't want that person. They don't want that person's life to change. And definitely don't want that person to work for God. So Fatimaki, eventually you got to the place where you accepted Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And how did you feel?
I don't even have words. $1 million. For the first time in my life, I could be myself, normal. And I could think, and I could see everything around me was normal.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Come on. All right, now. Here I am sitting on the couch with her and her husband. We've just cast out a whole bunch of devils. It's been a lot of hard work, and I'm looking around the place. What did I see in the place? Can you remember?
African mosques, Chinese, Buddhas,
all sorts of stuff.
Some Muslim things in the wall.
Okay. Yeah, their house was a shrine to all sorts of stuff. Maybe Buddha can help her. Buddha's sitting there. Maybe the African stuff will help her, they're hanging on the walls. Maybe this will help her, that's there. So, what I'm trying to share with you is this, that we've just prayed and she's accepted Jesus into her life. But she's got a whole bunch of false gods sitting right there in her living room with her. And that's just what I can see. I don't even know what's in the rest of the house.
Can I say something?
Yes, you can.
I never prayed to that gods.
Mm.
By stupidity and ignorance, I had that thing in my house because I didn't know that thing was going to affect me so bad.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people they have in the house and they don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. So here's what I know. I've prayed for people for many years. I've cast out many, many demons. And I've seen how this stuff works. Don't think for one second you can chase the devil out of you and live in a dirty home and think they're not going to come back. Because they'll come back in a flash. You see, whatever belongs to Satan belongs to Satan.
Yes.
And you can't have the attitude, ah, but you know what, I don't believe in that. And ah, I don't see it that way. Okay, the devil laughs. The devil just laughs at you. Because it's got nothing to do with how you see it. It's got everything to do with how God and Satan sees it.
Yeah.
And that's where we must get the understanding. A lot of people don't believe that you can bring something into your house that will bring a curse into your house. My friend, just go read your Bible. The Bible tells us plainly, do not bring an accursed object into your home or you like it will be cursed. Go read it. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 25 and onwards. If you bring a cursed object into your house, you bring a curse into your house, you are living with that curse. Have you ever noticed that people have influence over us? If you drive to work with somebody every day that is profoundly negative, how do you feel after a week?
Very negative.
Negative. If you are working with somebody that's full of anger and just irritable all the time, does it affect your own personal well-being? Yes. Now what makes you think, if you live in a house with a thief, that thief will not affect the way you live your life? Because every demon is a thief. And they have come to steal, and they have come to kill, and they have come to destroy. So now I know, I can't pray with her, lead her to God, have her accept Jesus. But she's got all this rubbish in her house, we got to do something about it. We got to get rid of it. So we had to make a plan to actually get rid of it. And I spoke to her husband and I said, look, you know what, I know this is your house, and I don't want to take over or anything like that. But here's what the Bible teaches us about this stuff. You can't have wrong things in your house, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, that's fine. He accepts that. You remember he did say that's fine,
yes.
Eh? All right.
He just wants the problem to go away.
He just wants the problem to go away, yeah. So at that point in time, he was willing to believe
anything.
So I point out the masks, yeah, no, the masks can go. I point out the Buddha, yeah, no problem, the Buddha can go. Yeah, even the Muslim stuff on the walls, yeah, no, they can go. We walk through the house, we get to Madame Fifi's room. So I walk into the room, and one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, which include speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of discerning of evil spirits, the gift of prophecy, the word of knowledge, and the word of wisdom. Now, the one that operated when I walked into her house or into her room was the gift to discern evil spirits, the gift of discernment. And the moment I walked into her room, everything inside me charged up. I felt like, I can't explain it, but like something very dark, very sinister, very evil, yet towards my one side, as if something was like in a spirit scratching me, and you know, it was just weird, like everything charges up, you can feel there's something here. Now the problem was, as I walked into the room, I walked in like this, on this side there are just cupboards. I can't see anything, there's nothing, it's not like Buddha sitting there on the dressing table or there's something weird, I can't see anything, but the cupboard is talking to me. There's big stress in the cupboard. So I said to them, look, this, you know what, this is not my house. I don't mean to pry, but this is what I feel. There's big drama in this room. Tell me, guys, could we maybe just have a look at the cupboard? And you didn't have a problem with that, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just put it this way. Fatima had no problems with nothing. If I told her to go and jump in the pool, I'm going to baptize her, she would have been baptized that day.
And you did.
Yes, I did, later. Later. In the middle of winter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And so anyway, she walked up to the cupboard, she opened the cupboard. What did I see in the cupboard?
Must I say it?
Yes, tell the people what was in your cupboard.
I had holy water that they gave me in the church to put in my food to make me feel better. I had pornography, some DVDs with pornography that they used to belong to my husband. Some evil ones like The Exorcist and other ones. I had muti, some powders, white powders. I went to a lot of places I never went to do anything wrong to anybody. Where I did it for myself to make feel better, and you know. And I had stones, I had crystals, and that I put in every corner of the house. And I had to pay 2,500 rand to this woman because she said she will make me feel better. And in the end, I was even much worse than before.
Wow.
And I had Muslim prayers all folded in small packs like this. And I had to eat once a day. I had to swallow that.
You had to swallow the prayers?
The prayers.
So that they could work inside?
They would work inside.
Okay, so they were still the paraffin model. That was the old, yeah. All right. Okay, guys, here's what I want you to just take from this. Here we had a woman with obviously big problems. And she was just trying to do, within her limited understanding of how things work, whatever she could to make her problems go away. But she was not necessarily doing the right thing. Now, just now we made a statement, or I made a statement, and I said to you that when the light comes on, you can begin to fix the problem the correct way, because you can see this must go there, that must go, yeah, this is how I fix this. But if you try and fix a problem in the dark, you will always make it worse, right?
Yes.
Now, here was her problem. She was working very hard to try and fix her life, but she was working in darkness. And that's why she went to the witch doctor. Because she was in darkness, she couldn't walk in there and see all the demons hanging around that hut, just waiting for her, full of bloodthirsty rubbish that they were going to put in her life that was going to turn her problems much worse. Let me explain to you how witch doctors work. Because what you need to understand is, it's not that they don't have power. Even Jesus said that there is power in Satan's kingdom. That's why we have to be delivered from the power of darkness and brought over into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. There is a lot of power in Satan's kingdom. When you go to a witch doctor, they work through evil spirits, all right? And they will tell you that they pray these spirits into them, all right? They spend a lot of time offering sacrifices to the spirits. They sit and chant and they sit and do all sorts of stuff, all to allow spirits to come into them and that the spirits would begin to heal through them. So when you walk into that person's place, a lot of problems are caused by evil spirits. A lot of problems are caused by witchcraft and sorcery and magic and etc., etc. Curses on people's lives, which is nothing other than evil spirits. Now, in Jesus' kingdom, things work by authority. You remember once Jesus was stopped by the centurion's servant because he wanted Jesus to go and pray for the centurion's... Yeah, okay, the centurion wanted Jesus to pray for his servant. Sorry, I just got that back to front. And when Jesus said he would go, the centurion said to him, you know what, now that I think about it, I'm a man of authority. And if I tell somebody under me to do it, they will do it. Because my authority makes them do it. And I recognize that you are a man of authority. So you don't even have to come with me. Just speak with your authority, and when you speak with your authority, it will be done. And then Jesus said to him, wow, I have never seen such faith, even with my own people. It will be as you have asked. But that man made a very valid point. Everything has to do with authority. In the kingdom of God, there is levels of authority, and in the kingdom of Satan, there is levels of authority. Now, a lot of people are being tormented by evil spirits. Just normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill evil spirits. And those evil spirits are under the authority of more powerful evil spirits. Okay? Let me put it to you this way. Your average demon that gives migraines or gives indigestion or gives paranoia or whatever the case might be would have to be submissive to some of the stronger evil spirits that control the area. All right? Now, the type of spirits that work with witch doctors are the powerful spirits that control areas. That means every demon afflicting a person in the area is subject to the demon working through the witch doctor. And when that demon speaks to the little chocho, giving the oak a hard time, and he says to them, listen, yeah, this person expects to be healed, or they expect change in their life, stop giving them a migraine, what's going to happen?
going to give you diarrhea.
Yes, you're right. She's brilliant. The migraine will probably get better. Because you see, the devil can't heal. He can just change the symptoms. So what happens is, when she walked into the witch doctor's house, the first thing he wanted was the 2,000 rand, because the devil is still a thief. All right? Wants big money. And then the spirit communicated through him and said, listen, yeah, they are expecting change, yeah, and we want them to come back so we can curse their life even more. So when you leave, don't do that and that anymore. Start doing this and this and this. And by the way, you now have more power over her life because she's come to us for help. So you are now more powerful. Can you understand how these things work? And yet people go to these places in their thousands, in their millions, every single day. But it's because they are living in darkness. It's because they can't see. If she had known what it was about, she would never have gone there.
Never.
But she thought that this was a way of helping her. Okay. Now, some of the things that she mentioned was, she had stuff from witch doctors, Muti, that she had to drink. She had stuff from fortune tellers. No, sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Muslim prayers, Muslim witch doctor, blue stones, crystals. What were the crystals for?
For good luck.
For good luck. It wasn't to tune your energy a
little probably
bit.
Yeah. For good luck.
All right, there is a lot of movements that like to make use of crystals. The understanding is that we all have some frequency that we resonate at, and the universe has got some frequency that it resonates at, and sometimes we can go out of tune with the universe, and then the crystal will help us tune in a little bit better. And that is highly demonic, because all of that stuff is unscriptural. All of that stuff is highly unscriptural. I once led a man to Christ that used to be a Reiki master. All right, he used to have healing hands, demonic healing hands. And he spent, I don't want to lie to you, but probably something like 30, 40, 50,000 rand just on crystals to tune his energy to such a place that he could begin to do healing. And when he would sit in the sphere of all of his crystals, he would begin to feel all the power and all the energy radiate through him, and he would feel things happen in his body and what. When he came to me for prayer, the first thing that the Lord cast out was the spirit that manifested in him and allowed him to supposedly heal people. The man nearly passed out. Because he truly did believe that his healing powers came from Jesus Christ. But he was deceived. Because God doesn't need crystals to heal you.
Yes.
God speaks a word. The Bible says, and he sent forth his word and healed them. If somebody gives you stuff that you got a bath in, that's not Jesus. If somebody tells you, take this powder and swallow it, that's not Jesus. If they tell you, bury this in your yard, it's not Jesus. It's a false God.
That.
You did a lot of that.
Yes.
Can you understand why you had problems?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I even had to kill a chicken and, you know, bath the blood, and then over that I had to bath.
My
for 3 days I couldn't bath. Oh my God.
Yeah. Aren't you happy that you serve a God that doesn't have to work with all of that rubbish? Come on, give the Lord a hand, man. Amen. All right. So, this is all the stuff that was in the cupboard that I felt. What was I feeling? I was feeling a bunch of chochos sitting on these things, having a big stress, because they are about to be exposed.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so Fatimaki, we walked up to the cupboard and I said to her and her husband, listen, you know what? This stuff has got to go. And so, as far as I can remember, she took the prayer medallions and she put them on the on the bed, and Muhammad didn't do nothing. Oh, that's fine. And then she took all the crystals. He wasn't interested because it wasn't his rubbish, it was her rubbish. Yeah, it can go. And she took all the little Muslim prayers and she put them down, and he didn't have a big problem because it was hers, not his. But there was one specific thing that when we touched it, it sparked a bit of fight in him. What was it?
The DVDs.
Oh, the DVDs. Was it his DVDs?
His DVDs.
Oh, how many DVDs did he have?
I can't even remember, but you saw with your own eyes.
This man had the biggest collection of DVDs that I've ever seen in my life. When he opened those cupboards, it looked like I'd walked into Blockbusters. There was every DVD that I'd ever seen. They were just rows and rows and stacks of DVDs. He must have spent all his time watching TV.
A fortune, and yes, a lot of time with the TV.
Jeez. All right. Now, here's the problem. We've gotten rid of some of the stuff now, please. Let me just explain something. You don't have to go home and get rid of Bugs Life and get rid of your Tintins and whatever. Okay? The problem with some of these DVDs was they definitely belonged to the realm of evil. All right, movies per se is like music. Music is not evil because God created music. But music can be used for evil. And it's the same with movies. There are some movies that will uplift you. There are some movies that will bless you. And there are some movies that will curse you. If you watch things like The Craft, who have you watched The Craft back when it came out? It's all about witchcraft. It's about, yeah, I remember you did. We prayed that devil out of you, didn't we? Yeah. When The Craft came out, this is just a bit of history, but The Craft came out, I think, in about 96, 97. No, it might have been earlier, 93. And, you know, the funny thing was, suddenly, it was almost like somebody had opened a floodgate of evil. Because young people started going off the rails, something chronic. And I remember for a season, I was flooded with phone calls from mothers and fathers that were in panic stations because their children are acting funny, they are acting weird, they can't sleep at night, they are seeing demons and evil spirits, they are acting in a funny way, and the parents didn't know what to do. And when they would bring them to me, they'd all watched that movie. And a lot of them had tried some of the things, some of the chants and the rituals that they saw in the movie, and immediately invited evil spirits into their lives. And when I prayed with them and I made them renounce the movie that they saw and the things that they'd done, they would all begin to manifest evil spirits. That's just one movie. Do you know how many movies are out there that work in exactly the same way? And so these were the type of movies that Muhammad needed to get rid of, because you see, here's the fact. His wife's got plenty chokhos. We've cast a lot of them out. But every single one that we've cast out will try and find a way to get back. Jesus warns us. Jesus says, when an evil spirit goes out of a man, it goes through the barren, dry places, it seeks rest, and it doesn't find it. Then it says to itself, I will go back to the house where I came from. Which house did it come from? It didn't come from the four walls that she lives in. It came from her. It came from her heart. And you see, it wants to get back in there. And like I said to you just now, what we live with influences us. If the Choho has a place to be right next to her, don't think for one second it's going to leave her alone. Every now and then it's going to give her a clap, and then it's going to mess with her, and then it's going to whisper lies into her ears, and quick, it'll find its way back to where it came from. All right. So yeah, I'm trying to explain this to her husband. He was open to listen to the masks, they can go, and Buddha can go, and all the other stuff can go, but the moment I spoke about his DVDs, the man was in fighting mode, because he wasn't going to get rid of his DVDs. Now that poses a problem. So, I said to him, look, let's do it this way. I'll show you the ones that I think are okay, and I'll show you the ones that I think are not okay. So now, on their bed, I'm making two heaps. One is the good heap that can stay, and the one is the heap that must go. Now you must see this man's face. The more the heap that must go grows, the more you can see the stress and drama. He's beginning to get all twitchy, and he's getting all agitated, and every now and then he's performing and complaining. And Fatima's got no problem. Yeah, it must go, it must go, it must go. And he's getting more and more charged up. And so finally, one of the demons inside of her just couldn't handle it anymore. I actually think the finger of God just prodded the thing and said, you, pop. And the next moment she went ballistic. And she pushed her husband out of the way, and she pushed me out of the way, and she went and she jumped. On the 4 foot, who say it in English? On all fours. She went and she jumped almost like an animal over her prey. protecting it. And with these big eyes, she shouted at me, "This is mine. This is all mine. You can't have it. You can't have one of them. This is mine." And there was a whole bunch of other stuff that was said that I can't really remember at all. But the next moment the husband was gone. Boof. Okay, so I'm stuck here with this stupid chokhok. I start fighting the thing and I cast it out. And by the time I actually had the demon cast out, Muhammad was back in the room. And he was carrying two checkers bags. So I said to him, "What are you going to do with the bag?" He says, "I'm going to burn the DVDs." You see, the thing is, until he saw with his own two eyes that it really did belong to Satan, he would not accept that there was a problem with it. And yes, I do believe God's got a wonderful sense of humor. And sometimes when you least expect it, God's sense of humor just pops out. But when that spirit, and it actually looked at Muhammad, it looked him in the eye, and it actually, if I remember correctly, it actually told him, "I've been living with you for all this time, wara, wara, wara." Speaking of the CDs, there was some communication between the spirit and him. And I'm telling you what, the man nearly wet himself. Because suddenly, in an instant, what he saw made things clear to him.
Yes.
And he was true to his word. He's a man of action. So while we're sitting there on the bed, he's getting all of his stuff together. And the next moment he's out there and he starts burning them. The moment he put petrol on them and he set them alight, the demons started screaming and coming out of her. Evil spirits left her without us even having to pray, just because they honored God. I want you to listen to that. Because they honored God, the Holy Spirit set her free. Now, obviously those movies probably had an influence over her. And as they were burning up, they lost their power over her life. But it was quite vivid to see this.
He doesn't spend no more time with DVDs since that the Lord actually turned
him.
And it's like you said, he was more interested on the DVDs than to the family or anything at home. Mm. The DVDs, they brought a lot of division and a lot of problems into our home. Mm. And probably that's why the devil had a lot of place there.
He had a lot of power. Yeah, sure. All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We've been busy for an hour now, and we've only just touched on what's going on. What do you say we continue next week?
Yes.
Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Is that all right with you guys? All right, so I'll tell you what we're going to do. There's actually a lot more things that we're going to be sharing with you. Who of you have learned something so far? Well, bless God. Now you know what we're going to be talking about. Now I want you to look around you. There are some open seats here. Go and invite somebody with next week. Because there's a lot of good stuff here that they got to hear. Amen. Because you see, that's why Jesus wants us to share our testimony. Because nothing can get you to understand the Word of God like when somebody tells you how their life is and how the Word of God impacted and changed their life in a practical way. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Listen here, guys. Before we go, here's what I want to do in closing. Obviously, you can take a look at this lady now. Just give them that nice smile of yours. And those people there as well, because they don't see anything. If you look at her now, and you look at her then, you can't believe she's the same person. You used to know her, didn't you? What's your name again? Lena. Come stand here, quickly. Come stand here. Helena, eh? Now, I want you all to quickly welcome Helena. Just, how's it? Am I putting you on the spot tonight?
Yeah.
Helena, you used to know her when she was still in her rough and tumble years.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I want you to speak in that thing.
Very well, yes.
And how would you say, how has her life changed now compared to then?
It's changed a lot. A lot, because she wasn't a normal person then. She really wasn't. Cause I used to go in there when she was lying down and talking with all these funny voices and swearing and, you know, and, oh, it was a big drama with the family, everybody, you know, everybody yeah. was...
And her family actually suffered a lot,
yes,
didn't they?
Yes, and she had a younger sister too that had so many problems.
Yeah.
And it was because I've known them, ever since she arrived, yes. Yeah. So it's just chaos.
Sure.
But now it's a lot easier.
Amen.
She can talk to her. Before, she'd just go off the rockets and said, oh, you know what?
Amen. Yeah. So you can see the work of and the hand of God in her life.
Yes, I can.
Well, bless God.
Yes, thank God.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, Leonard.
All right. Now, Fatimaki, the Lord has done a lot for you, hasn't He?
A lot.
Amen. Would you say that the Lord has completely changed your life?
Yes.
Amen. Now, here's a question for you. Would you say that there is any good reason why the Lord would do this for you, but for some weird reason not want to do it for somebody else?
No.
I agree with you. So, here's my question. If the Lord has done this for you, if He has had mercy on you, and He has come and in His great mercy picked you up out of that massive pit of despair that you were in, and He has taken you out of the darkness and brought you over into the light, given you a new perspective on life,
Amen.
Changing your outlook on yourself, your outlook on the world, your outlook on everything, what do you say God might want to do it for somebody here tonight?
Probably more than He did for me, or the same.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, here's what I want to say. I don't know you. There's a lot of people here tonight that I've never seen before. And I don't know your life, and I don't know where your life is right now. Maybe your life isn't as bad as hers was. But maybe you can see a little bit of yourself in some of the things that you've heard. You're going to hear a lot more next week, but maybe you've heard some stuff. I want you to close your eyes, all of you. Please close your eyes. Just humor me. If you are here tonight and you know that your life is not right with God. If you are here tonight and you say, Yarion, you know what, that made sense to me. I'm trying to fix my life, but I'm actually in darkness. And that's why I keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And that's why I can't seem to get out of this rut that I'm in. I'm stuck. Nothing wants to change. Or maybe you're here tonight and you can respond to this. Yes, Rian, there was a time when I used to know the Lord. I used to worship Jesus. I used to have a lot of place for Him in my life. I had a relationship with Him. But then things happened in my life. Disappointments came my way. This world got very tough for me. And slowly but surely, without really wanting to do it, I started drifting away from God. And right now I know that I know that my life is not right with God anymore. Now, if maybe you can respond to either of those two situations, while everybody's eyes are closed, I want you to just quickly pop up your hand so that I can see you. Yeah, bless God. Sure. You can take your hand down. Now, here's what I want you to understand. God saw that hand. And I said to you in the beginning that this is a choice. You gotta make the choice. God has to know your choice, and Satan definitely has to know your choice. Now, it's not good enough if you just pop up your hand for me tonight and say, yeah, here I am. If you can put up your hand, you can make a choice to change all of that. Now, here's what I'm going to ask us all to do, because I know how this works. If I ask just them to do it, then they're going to feel sort of very self-centered, self-conscious. And a lot of them might not really respond the way they want to. So could we all do this together? Would you all help them? Because there were many hands that went up. Please stand. All of you, please stand. Now please raise your hands to God. And you know what? You've got nothing to lose by just praying this prayer with us again. Because that's how God starts to change your life. Please pray this with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that You are the Son of God, and You are the only way to God. I believe You died on that cross for me. You came to this earth to save me from the fires of hell, that I will not share in Satan's fate, but I will have a new life. Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that you gave your life for me. And tonight I ask you to give me that life in exchange for mine. I give you this old life, full of corruption, full of anger, full of hatred, full of fear, full of uselessness, hopelessness, low self-esteem, anger, violence, addiction, hatred. Lord, I give you this old, rotten life. And I thank you tonight that I have this wonderful privilege that I can receive your life. A life that conquered sin. A life that conquered sickness. A life that conquered every demon, every curse, and every evil spirit. Lord Jesus, I open this heart and I invite you in tonight. Please be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for the wrong decisions that I've made. Forgive me for the deliberate sin in my life. And forgive me for sometimes just being stupid. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Please fill me now. Blessed Holy Spirit, take my hand and help me to stay on the narrow road. I thank you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed. Keep your hands up. Holy Spirit, you heard what they've prayed tonight. Lord, this was not just an empty prayer. This was a cry from their hearts. Please have mercy on them. Please fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit. Please, Lord Jesus, remember the promise that you gave us, that you would open the floodgates of heaven and that streams of living water will begin to pour into them, that it'll fill them to such a place that it'll begin to flow back out of them again. Father God, I thank you for every person that has raised their hands, and I thank you that your blessing comes upon their life right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. I want you all to look at me. I make a declaration tonight to every single one of you that prayed this prayer from your heart. I say to you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, who is now your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you. You may sit down. Bless God. All right. Who of you felt something happen to you while you prayed that prayer? Amen. Can I tell you what happened? You moved from darkness into light. And you know what? I can't promise you that you will never have problems again. I can't promise you that you will never make mistakes again. But I can promise you this. It's a whole lot easier to fix your life in the light than it is to fix your life in the darkness. Bless God. Amen.